following podcast is brought to you by the Communications and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Stick, and this is the Bam Dunk Podcast, where we'll recap the latest news across the sport. It's Tuesday, the 17th of February, and on the agenda today, we're going to be talking about the NFL's latest news, how the Olympics have been going for everyone, including the United States, and some more major headlines after. The first thing I want to talk about in the NFL today is the major off-season moves that the Dolphins have been making with the release of Tyreek Hill and Bradley Chubb. Now, as many of you may know, Tyreek Hill has been coming off a torn ACL and dislocated kneecap this last season. Back in 2022, Tyreek Hill signed a four-year, $120 million extension with the Miami Dolphins, with over $72 million of that being guaranteed money. His 2026 cap hit was set to be one of the biggest among all wide receivers in the NFL, and Miami entering a reset, the number became impossible to carry, especially with Hill coming off a torn ACL and dislocated knee. If Miami process his release before June 1st, they're starting a roughly $24 to $26 million into dead cap, with about $20 to $22 million in savings. But the smarter play, and the one most expect, is a post-June 1st designation that splits the dead money over two seasons around $12 million to $13 million each year, and frees up over $30 million in 2026 cap space. That's kind of flexibility a rebuilding team needs. Now, Bradley Chubb, whose contract was just as heavy, Chubb signed a five-year, $110 million extension after Miami traded for him, with more than $63 million guaranteed. His cap hit was massive, and with another torn ACL added to his injury history, the Dolphins had to make a tough financial call. If they cut him before June 1st, they'd eat $23 million to $25 million in dead cap and barely save anything, maybe $5 to $7 million. But with a post-June 1st designation, the dead money splits almost evenly across 2 years, about $12 to $13 million each season, and Miami frees up $15 to $17 million more dollars. These moves allow Miami to rebuild this offseason and find a new culture and team, head coach Jeff Hafley. It's painful in the short term, but gives them the flexibility to rebuild both sides of the ball with younger and cheaper talent. Move around the league and talk about the new head coaches and offensive coordinators stepping into big roles this season, because the coaching carousel has been spinning nonstop. We'll start in Miami, where the Dolphins have officially hired Jeff Hafley as their new head coach. Hafley comes over from Green Bay, where he served as the Packers' defensive coordinator, and he's being brought in to lead what's shaping up to be a full rebuild in Miami. The organization is clearly resetting the roster, and Hafley's defensive background, leadership style, and reputation for discipline are exactly what the Dolphins believe they need as they enter the next phase. Miami fans are hoping he can stabilize a team that's been talented but inconsistent, and the front office is betting that Hafley's structure and toughness will translate quickly. With maybe the biggest news over in Las Vegas, where the Raiders made one of the most intriguing hires of the cycle by bringing over Clint Kubiak as their new head coach. Kubiak is coming off a strong run as Seattle's offensive coordinator, and he's expected to bring the same motion-heavy, timing-based systems to Vegas. What makes this move even more interesting is that Kubiak plans to call plays himself, giving the Raiders a clear offensive identity from day one. He also brought over Andrew Janko as his offensive coordinator, someone he's worked with across multiple teams, and gives the Raiders... continuity and shared vision on the offensive side of the ball. Now, in Seattle, the departure of Clint Kubiak opened the door for the new offensive mind, and the Seahawks hired Brian Fleury to take over this offense. Fleury comes off the 49ers staff, where he worked closely with the run game system, and that background fits perfectly with what Mike McDonald wants, a balanced, matchup-driven offense that can adapt week to week. Fleury's experience in San Francisco's scheme should help Seattle build a more efficient, rhythm-based attack. Now, with free agency coming up, let's talk about the franchise tags, because the window is officially open and teams have until March 3rd to make their decisions. And this year, the list of candidates is a lot more interesting than last season. With the obvious, the biggest name on the board is George Pickens in Dallas. Pickens last year exploded with over 1,400 yards, 9 touchdowns, and was named second team All-Pro. And the Cowboys are not letting him hit the open market. Every major outlet has them pegged as the most likely tag recipient, with a projected tag cost of just under $29 million. Dallas has used the tag aggressively in the past, and this feels like another one of those years. Another strong candidate for this is Daniel Jones in Indianapolis. The Colts love what he did before his injury, and the tag gives them a way to keep him in the building while they evaluate his recovery. The quarterback tag number is massive, over $47 million. But it may be the safest short-term move for Indy. And then there's Kyle Pitts in Atlanta. Tight end tag values are relatively cheap compared to other positions, and Pitts is expected to be a major piece in the Falcons' new offensive system. Tagging him makes too much sense for Atlanta. League-wide, the expectation is that we'll see more tags this year than last, especially with the salary cap jumping past $301 million. Teams have more flexibility, and they're using it tag as a way to buy time on long-term deals. So between the quarterback trade market and the franchise tag decisions coming over the next 2 weeks, this offseason is shaping up to be one of the busiest we've seen in years. Now, let's head over to Milan, where the 2026 Winter Olympics have been nothing short of dramatic for Team USA. It's been a tournament full of highs, lows, and a whole lot of pressure, and the Americans are feeling every bit of it. Team USA has been grinding through these games, but the medal count tells the story. It's been an uphill battle. Several of the biggest American stars have struggled to find the podium. Michaela Schifrin, one of the most decorated alpine skiers in history, still hasn't secured a medal in Italy. She missed the podium in the team combined event and then finished 11th in the giant slalom, continuing a drought that stretches back to 2018. Speed skating hasn't been much kinder. Aaron Jackson, the defending Olympic champion in the 500 meters, finished 5th. A strong run, but not enough to medal. And while the U.S. has picked up wins in curling and other team events, the overall medal pace has been slower than expected. But if there's one place where the United States is absolutely thriving, it's hockey. Both men's and women's. The U.S. women's hockey team has been on a tear. They rolled through group play with a combined score of 15-1, then absolutely dominated Canada 5-0 in what many believe was a preview of the gold medal matchup. Abby Murphy and Hannah Bicka lit up the scoreboard, and the Americans look faster, sharper, and more physical than anyone else in the field. Canada still advanced to the final, setting up yet another chapter in the greatest rivalry of women's sports. The U.S. faces Canada for gold on February 19th. On the men's side, the U.S. and Canada are on a collision course of their own. Both teams went undefeated in group play, earning byes straight into the quarterfinals. The Americans finished 3-0 with dominant wins over Latvia, Denmark, and Germany, and they'll face the winner of Sweden versus Latvia in the next round. Canada, meanwhile, is the top seed, and they will take on the winner of Czechia versus Denmark. Analysts across the board expect these two powerhouses to meet for gold. And with NHL players back in the Olympics for the first time since 2014, the talent level is off the charts. Now, let's talk some medal counts, because the top of the table has been fierce. According to the latest Olympic tracking, the top three countries continue to separate themselves from the pack. Norway, Canada, and Germany have been trading spots at the top, with the U.S. sitting further down the list than expected. The Americans have picked up medals in figure skating, freestyle skiing, and curling, but the gold medal drought in marquee events has kept them from climbing higher. So here's where things stand. Team USA is battling through inconsistency, struggling to convert big-name performances into medals. But in hockey, both the men and women are playing like gold medal favorites. Canada is right there with them, setting up a possibility of not one, but two U.S.-Canada gold medal showdowns. And if that happens, we're looking at one of the most electric finishes in Winter Olympics in recent memory. Now, let's close out today's show by zooming out and hitting some of the biggest stories happening across the wider sports world, because it's been a busy week so far beyond the NFL and Olympics. We'll start in Major League Baseball, where the league was rocked by a sudden resignation of Tony Clark, the longtime executive director of the MLB Players Association. Clark has led the union since 2013, becoming the first former player to ever hold the position, and his departure comes at the moment when the MLBPA is under intense scrutiny. Federal investigators have been looking into alleged financial irregularities involving licensing revenue and a youth baseball initiative connected to the union. Clark has publicly acknowledged the investigation last year and said he was cooperating fully, but his exits now, with the collective bargaining agreement set to expire on December 1st, sends shockwaves through the sports. Players were blindsided. Many found out through the media, and several team reps have already voiced frustrations and concerns about the timing. With labor tensions rising and owners pushing for structural change, the MLBPA suddenly finds itself without its top voice, heading into what could be the most consequential negotiation in a decade. All signs point to Bruce Meyer, the union's lead negotiator, stepping into a larger role, but the uncertainty is real, and it's hanging over the entire league as spring trading ramps up. Now, shifting to the NBA, where the focus has moved from roster moves to the celebrations after another All-Star weekend wrapped up. This year's All-Star game featured a mix of young stars and established veterans, and while the defense wasn't exactly playoff level, the league did get some standout performances. Anthony Edwards put on a show with his scoring burst, while Tyrese Halliburton lit up the three-point contest. And of course, Victor Wembanyama had the entire arena buzzing with a series of highlight blocks and transition dunks. The NBA continues to experiment with ways to make the game more competitive, including charity-based incentives and fourth quarter format tweaks. And while it's not perfect yet, this year's felt like a step in the right direction. Now, in college basketball, the storylines are getting juicier by the day. UConn, Purdue, and Houston continue to look like the most complete teams in the country, but the gap between the top tier and everyone else is razor thin. Bubble teams like Michigan State, Texas A&M, and Virginia Tech are fighting for their tournament lives, while mid-majors such as St. Mary's and Drake are positioning themselves as potential bracket busters. With conference tournaments just weeks away, coaches are calling this one of the most unpredictable seasons in recent memory. And the analytic models agree. And over to global soccer, the transfer window delivered some real movement. Manchester United made headlines by securing a loan deal for a young winger expected to play meaningful minutes down the stretch, while Real Madrid continues to push for reinforcements as they battle injuries to key players. Meanwhile, Bayern Munich and Arsenal both made late window additions to bolster their depth in Champions League play. Speaking of the Champions League, the knockout stage is officially set, and we've got heavyweight matchups like Manchester City versus Barcelona and PSG versus Juventus that could define the entire tournament. So, across baseball, basketball, college sports, and global soccer, the storylines are piling up, and each one is setting the stage for a massive spring in the sports world. From Tony Clark's resignation, shaking up MLB leadership, to NBA stars lighting up All-Star Weekend, to college hoops gearing up for March, the European giants reloading for Champions League battles, it's one of those weeks where every sport has something big happening.